Yeah, so in July, I also decided to start something myself. So we started making organic skincare products and things. That's where the 3Gen comes from, because it's me, my daughter, and my mom, the three generations. And it was taking over the entire house, because that also took off. So I needed a home for that, and I figured, why not help others in the process?
There's a new trend of community-based businesses starting on the South Coast, and I'm here for it. While a global pandemic doesn't scream time to start a new business, that's exactly what Amanda Alcudino did. While growing her own line of skincare products, the idea of a local marketplace shop, 3genlove.com, bubbled up into existence. The name comes from three generations of women running the shop, including Amanda, her daughter, and her mother. They host over 45 businesses at 645 A State Road, Westport, Mass., right behind the Cozy Nook restaurant. From crafts to arts to healing, you can find a whole heck of a lot there. Today, she shares her story of building the business, including marketing and logistics, plus some advice for future South Coast entrepreneurs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share us on social media. Tell your friends, family, your community about southcoast.fm. Okay, here's my interview with Amanda.
It was great, actually. It was a good learning experience. They taught us a lot of knowledge, a lot of stuff I needed, because a lot of our things was paper, and we switched to computer with all their guidance. And yeah, it's been a ride, and it's been awesome.
Things like accounting, inventory, all that stuff. That was stuff that you were sort of a little bit in the early 90s.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Cool.
A lot.
Cool. I have mentored there probably half a dozen times already. And one of the exciting things for me is to see people come in with one idea and then totally change it.
Oh, pivot.
Like halfway something. Through, or they realize, like, oh my God, I was never thinking about my customer this way. I wasn't thinking about my brand this way. Did you have any of that at all?
Yeah. Mine actually was the customer, because to me, my customer is who buys my products. But to look at it from a store perspective, I had to sit back and realize that my customer is actually the businesses in the store. So it was like a little light bulb.
The tagline from your website, 3Gen Love, bringing family, community, and small businesses together. When we did our pre-interview, and I don't want to, I'll use my words, then you can fill in the right words. Mm-hmm. But I see this as like almost a marketplace model, businesses, small businesses, craft, physical product, the artists, they bring this stuff to your place and they sell it. And now you have this marketplace conundrum. Mm-hmm. You need more of them to get more of us yes. being the buyers. How has that gone for you so far?
It's grown tremendously. When we opened in October, I had 13 businesses, and today we'll actually have 52. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And was this, when did you come up with this idea? How did it spur?
It was a whim, honestly. Mm-hmm. I've supported small businesses before. We opened during COVID. Everybody kind of came out of the woodworks making things. Yep. They needed
literally
a home, and I gave them a home.
Yeah. So you started the store during COVID. That must have been a little bit of a challenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
We opened in October of 2020 at the Kilburn Mill.
Literally the worst time.
Yes. but I gave it a shot because, you know, the way that their contracts worked. And if it worked, it worked. And if it didn't, it didn't. And it grew way faster than I thought it was going to. So.
Why this idea? Why not just, are you an artist or product maker yourself? And why not just do your own thing? Why this like community marketplace model?
Yeah, so in July, I also decided to start something myself. So we started making organic skincare products and things. That's where the 3Gen comes from, because it's me, my daughter, and my mom, three generations. And it was taking over the entire house, because that also took off.
Yeah.
So I needed a home for that. And I figured, why not help others in the process?
Yeah. Let's just touch upon the skincare product stuff. How was that going? You know, did you ever think, you know, halfway through eFrawl, like, actually, you know what? Maybe I'll just refocus on that because getting all these people together might be a little bit of a challenge. Or like, where do you split your time, I guess is what I'm going to get at is, do you still split your time with the skincare stuff and the store? Is there a healthy balance, an uncontrollable balance?
It's a healthy balance now. I don't necessarily make all the skincare products that I did 2 years ago anymore. My whole business has pivoted to fit into my store, actually, and what the customers ask for. So I have grown in that way, and I kind of spend my time restocking that stuff while also working the store. So. Mm.
That, because that's like a whole other, let's just talk about the challenges that you faced as just like a direct to consumer product maker.
Right.
Inventory, ingredients, packaging, like all of this stuff through this pandemic, you say those keywords and it's just like cost going up, harder to source, out of stock, can't ship anything for months.
Right.
Like, I'm sure that's a huge thing. What about marketing and messaging for that business? When you look at compared to the in-store marketplace, do you see one easier than the other?
I think starting my own helped the store when we opened, because I had my products. I was marketing just myself through friends and family. And then I started doing like craft fairs and SOAM and things like that. And that helped get my name out there. So when we opened, it was a bigger customer base.
Yeah. People knew what you were there to offer. And then what you've done is you've like created a brand that other people wouldn't mind being associated with.
So right.
I think there's a lot of people like, you know, if I started a podcast store, which is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said, but let's say you start a podcast store, other podcasters might be like, I don't know if I want to go in there if you're like talking about the same thing. But if you have, let's say, skincare, then somebody comes on alongside of you. Like, I think I'm looking right now at Ginger Woodworks on your website, Nature and Faye. Like, I think these folks just want to align with you. They're not competing with you.
Right.
And they're a nice, accessory product that somebody could come in and buy both.
Yeah, I try and give a good variety of different things and have everybody work together. That's why we changed from one family to a family of the whole store with the branding.
And how does that go? Because
it's been a learning curve.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been in family business almost all of my life. It's pretty challenging. Then you bring in other folks and then you put the family label on it, but we're not, maybe. And now we need to have like contracts and things you have to sign, you have to pay me. And that becomes a fun part. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we've had the contracts in place from the beginning, but I've learned a few things along the way and we've had to make a few changes and we grow together, but it's definitely been a learning curve with different people and different energies and them just not working and learning how to navigate through that.
I've always been fascinated about let's say like the barber shop model, and I assume maybe it's almost like the same for maybe like a hair salon or something like that. But barbershop model, like the barber, there's the barber who owns the place, owns the maybe real estate or leases it or whatever. But then they sublease the chair, and then it's like they pay a flat fee. And then the barber can charge, whoever's renting it can charge whatever they want to cut hair. But then I feel like if the primary barber spending all, and this is my business mind comes on, that primary barber is like spending all this money on like marketing and stuff like that, maybe people should start chipping in a little bit more to like that message. Right. Is that something, like how do you share in marketing other businesses so that it funnels up to the greater good that is 3GenLove?
I have a collection of, I have a collection of businesses in the store that are very supportive and understand the work that I put in to help everybody. So when I have some big event coming up and a big price tag, a lot of them will donate money to help towards that too.
Right. So you might have to, is this like something like renting a space and it might be, I don't know, like $1,000 or something, like you're going to an event or something?
Yeah,
like-
we just did a radio ad and a social media package and everybody kind of chipped in for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like collaborative
They knew it would be good for everybody.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And that's been fairly successful?
Yeah.
People are like, ah, do I have to give you $100? And you're like, yes, you do.
No, no, I'm pretty easygoing, and I know they understand that. Mm-hmm. So I ask for it, and if they want to give it, they give it. And if they don't, the relationship still stays the same. I'm not going to look at them different. So.
Do most of the businesses have their own, I assume, I'm looking at it, so mm-hmm. this is fairly obvious to me, but they all have their own online presence somewhere else.
Yeah.
They could see their stuff in 3Gen Love physically in the store, but then go buy from them online or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you track getting credit for seeing yourself, for the customer seeing their product in your store, but then they go and buy from like their Shopify store or something like that?
So I did start the website with advertising for some of them. Not everybody wanted to participate, but the bulk of them do. And they have their marketing contracts and stuff for that to help them out. But other than that, what they do on their own time, I'd never see.
Yeah. yeah. So do you, obviously the obvious answer is what? People can go there and buy physically. They can buy the stuff there. Do you, I'm just really interested in like mm-hmm. the marketplace model. It's something that is, I think, phenomenal. One that is quietly, but also very well known in this area, like your shop, SoAm. I'm sure there's others that Buy Black NB, who I've had on the show before. Mm-hmm. Like this marketplace model is fascinating to me. Email ownership, is that a thing that exists? Maybe something that does exist where like, hey, if somebody comes into the shop and they can sign up for email, that vendor gets the email, but you get the email as well, so you can market to that person.
That might be something I can look into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a newsletter for the store itself, but it doesn't branch into anybody.
Yeah, it just goes direct to your customers or to everyone who has walked through the shop?
Everybody that's walked through the shop.
Got it. How do you get people to contribute content to that newsletter? Or is that still yet to be discovered?
That is still yet. I just made the first one in April and I'm proud of myself. But
which platform are you using for that?
We have everything through Square. So
okay, so you do
it
the
just
newsletter.
Made sense.
Yeah, you do the newsletter through that. Somebody buys, they put their email address in the checkout process, and then the email's there.
Yeah, the text marketing works better, but
text marketing.
I tried to do email.
Yep. Email isn't as effective.
I mean, I can track it a little bit better. I know personally when I get emails, I just delete them.
Really? So. Talk to me about this text messaging success you've had. Yeah. Because if somebody was texting me, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, how did
well,
you get my number?
I don't send a lot of them out. When they check out at the register, I ask them if they want us to sign up for the text marketing. They get a $5 coupon and then it enters them into it. I don't send out a lot of them, mostly when something big's happening or I'll send out a coupon here and there. And
when you ran surveys through eForall, see, like I'm not the typical, certainly not like the typical buyer who, I'm not interested in like the coupons and stuff like that. I'm like, when I need something, I'll go get it and research it and find like what I want at the time. But there are a ton of buyers out there who are like, yeah, send me the stuff because I want it immediately. And I'm the opposite. Is that stuff that was eye-opening to you or when you were doing surveys or anything else when you were doing surveys that was eye-opening to you?
Yeah, and I think that I didn't realize at the time when I was doing the surveys either that people actually expected to pay more to be in a store than what I was actually charging. So that was a curve.
How do you even survey for price when there's so much product here that's not yours?
Right. So some of them rent and some of them are commissioned. So I like to give them that option, but I surveyed my businesses in the store directly to see what they would feel comfortable paying for a certain amount of space.
Got it. So there's two options. Is that what I'm hearing? They can either sort of like rent space or just do commission?
Yeah.
So the commission obviously goes to you.
Yes.
They set up shop. They don't pay you a rent, maybe a very low rent.
They don't pay any rent.
Pay any rent. Nope. And any sale they make, a percentage goes to you.
Yep.
All tracked through Square.
Yes.
Makes it nice and easy for you. Do they actually have like a marketplace?
Now I have a barcode system.
Oh, so it just tracks it.
But
Yeah, that's fantastic. See, I mean, look at this.
I used to write it on paper in like little boxes with all the business names every time they'd have a sale, and then I'd have to calculate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, so now it's easy.
Now it's just all automated. That's fascinating. Tell us about the location. We should have opened with that. I'll open up with it in the monologue, but tell us like the location, where you're located, benefits, challenges, et cetera.
Yeah. So we are located at 645A State Road. So we are literally right next to Cozy Nook on Route 6. The new location, I love. It is kind of hard to see us from the highway because we're behind Cozy Nook, but we're there and I'm loving it.
Cozy Nook, man. I used to go there for breakfast because my parents love going there for breakfast. And it was like Black Friday every Saturday, line down the so time. I mean, you get a lot of visibility, I assume, from from a place like that. Plus there's a bunch of other, I think, businesses over there too, right?
Yeah, it's just us two in that plaza, and then there's a plaza right next to us with more businesses. But Cozy Nook's actually my landlord's, so they're pretty good about being, hey, if you're waiting, why don't you go check out next door? And they're good about helping.
Cool. There, like we mentioned before, SOAM, Buy Black NB, other areas on the South Coast, a lot of them are gravitating towards like that seasonal outdoor thing. Mm-hmm. You have been in SOAM before, maybe still there. Is a seasonal outdoor thing going to be a thing for you with your brand and your businesses?
We'll see where the future takes us. I do anticipate opening more locations in different areas with maybe different themes. That's like a goal for the next couple of years.
Are a lot of the businesses in your shop also part of these other places as well?
Most of us are in some.
Yeah. That's fascinating. If you were starting fresh tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have this two-ish years of experience. You didn't have eFrall, or maybe you did have eFrall. If you were to reboot and do it again, would you do it differently, pursue something else, or, hey, everything's, you know, the chips have fallen as they lie and it's fine the way it is?
That's a good one. I would probably separate a few things and have like the healing part of the store separate. But then again, when I think about it, I feel like it also meshes really well together the way that it is. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's because why? Like, why do you look at it as I should separate this healing category? And
because I feel like I could open it up for more people. Because I only have the two rooms, so I do the Reiki, I have a tarot reader, and then we have an Akashic record reader as well. And we kind of all share the space as it is. So it could potentially give us more room, but I could also bring in massage techs and stuff like that if it was two separate places.
So like we'd be trending towards like spa model almost? Interesting. What about your online presence? You have, I'm on the website right now. Mm-hmm. Of course you have the vendor directory. We can shop for, I'm assuming, just your products, or is this a mix? Is your online also a mix of other vendors?
Most of the products are just mine in there. There are a few other people. mostly it's to see what the store is about, see the vendors in the store, and you can purchase the event tickets and things like that through the website.
Talk to me about managing the e-commerce side of it. Has that been a challenge? And do you look to maybe open up more opportunity online?
Yeah, I definitely do want to open up the online presence. I am not tech savvy. So when we get to that point, I'll outsource. But it is in the future plans.
I mean, you have 216 items up here right now.
That's, I have a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things up here. This is, I mean, most people are like, I can't do this. And they have like six. You're saying, I can't do this. And you have 216.
Yeah, that's mostly mine.
Yeah. So all of these products are yours.
Everything under my name.
Everything under your name. Got it. Got it. And again, like talking about splitting time, because again, I think marketplace stuff is fascinating. How do you spend the time, or how do you plan on spending the time marketing the energy towards the online versus the retail space?
I have lists for everything. Mm-hmm. I try and focus most of my attention with getting the website done first and then marketing on the social media platforms. Mm-hmm. That way they kind of coincide to each other. But yeah, one day I'll do like the website and then the next day I do the social media.
And what's your favorite social media platform for this?
For us, I find that Facebook works the best, but we do have an Instagram.
And how do you spend, do you have a Facebook group? Do you do ads? How does that interact? Or do you just have the straight up page and you just post and interact there?
We have a Facebook page. Every once in a while, I'll boost ads. And then everybody in the store itself, we have our own group.
Okay, got it. Got it. And then do you all cross promote on Facebook too when possible? That's awesome. Live streaming, podcasting, YouTube, anything like that in the future?
I do live videos.
Nice.
I like to do walkthroughs when I have a free moment. They take me a lot of time because there's a lot more people now.
Yeah.
I don't do them weekly anymore. But I do them often. We're trying to lean towards getting a Pinterest and TikTok after E for All. So
yeah.
That's in the works.
TikTok, something I don't even touch.
I can't get the reels down on Instagram, so I don't know how it's gonna work. I'm thinking about hiring my 11-year-old niece and having her do it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've heard a lot of folks have success there. I mean, it's, you know, TikTok's been around a while now. I mean, mm-hmm. it's whatever, 2.5, maybe 3 years at this point, which is like 20 years in technology and social media.
Right.
So it's been around a while. Obviously there's a lot of success in it. There's that immediate rush to go to that platform because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, whatever, it's like discovering gold. You need to be there first to like find it. And then everyone's getting success in the beginning, but the platform, it does trick you into like this empty success. I do other podcasts about like WordPress and marketing and digital stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I'm going to do a TikTok account. And I didn't even put it on my phone because I'm like, I don't want it on my phone.
Right.
I'm going to do it just through the web browser. I uploaded like a minute clip, like a video clip. And it said I had like 12,000 views. And I was like, there's no way that this stupid clip that I just put up was 12,000 views. You're lying to me.
Right.
And and I started doing research on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, your first TikTok videos, they make it go higher. So then you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna do another one.
Yeah,
then
I did a second one. On Instagram too.
Yeah, I did a second one. It was like 50.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, like now I've caught on.
Right.
It's unfair.
Yeah, they do that on the reels on Instagram too, now that you actually say that.
Yeah.
My first one had like 5,000 views and the rest are only like a quarter of that.
So like I'm a big fan of like that owned content. You know, I spend a lot of time on like Twitter is like probably the most active social account that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit on LinkedIn, but that's about it.
Right.
You know, I used to spend a lot of time on Facebook, but really I'm like, I'm sick of Facebook, so I don't do it anymore. But I can totally appreciate that it works for your business.
Yeah, it seems to be the platform that many people pick up on the most. So,
what about YouTube in your eyes? Is that something that you think would be beneficial or too much work on the YouTube side?
I'm not entirely sure if it would help the business model itself. Mm-hmm. I don't see why I couldn't take videos of the store itself and upload them. I just don't know how it would go from there.
Yeah. Second largest search engine in the world is probably some things like if it were an evergreen thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the benefits of like Instagram and Facebook is like the walkthroughs, the live stuff, you know, things that are in the moment is very valuable on those platforms. But if you were to solve things for like how to do XYZ at your store or like a search thing, there's some benefit there.
Yeah, it could potentially work if we wanted to actually record our classes for the people that aren't local, because they do get that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the classes. Like, do you have folks going there for instructional things? Is that like a whole other arm to the business?
Oh yeah, it's a whole other like.
We're gonna need to find another place. We're gonna take over all of Cozy Nook, right? Because there's no way.
I'm gonna need more room. Yeah, so we usually host anywhere from 25 to 35 classes a month. We have educational instructional classes like intros. We do also offer do-it-yourself classes, paint nights. I have a medium reader that comes every like 3-4 months. She's super popular. We'll start yoga up again soon. I do Reiki trainings. There's a lot of things.
When did you realize you had to do everything to to keep this business going?
Well, we kind of just go with the flow. So if somebody asks, or they'll be like, hey, I don't really know a lot about crystals, I don't know a lot about chakras, we make a class and whatever helps people.
Yeah. And then obviously they're there. They're in the store. Whomever might be instructing this class or whatever, they would probably have product or a service that would tie back to that class. That's awesome. Anything else that you would want to share with entrepreneurs? If you became a mentor yourself at E4All,
I plan to.
You plan to. It's the circle of life.
Yeah.
You plan to become a mentor. What kind of advice, now that you've gone through it, now that you're growing and you're already kind of like, man, I could do all kinds of things with this brand, let alone this space. What kind of advice are you giving out to young entrepreneurs these days?
Don't give up is usually my main focus, because you're going to hit snags and people might not be receptive in the beginning. But if you keep focusing on who you are and who your brand is, it will catch on to the right people.
Did you ever have a moment where you're ready to give up with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
I've had plenty of them. Daily.
Yeah.
But yeah, we keep going and it works out.
Was it when you, have you ever come to a crossroad, like you really considered it? And is it something that you're willing to talk about? Was there a moment where it was just, I don't know, whatever it might be, real estate, renting, inventory, was it like, man, this is, I should just do something else?
Yeah, it usually hits you right after the holidays because that's when you hit that dead season.
Got it.
And then I'm like, well, I really gonna try and go back to work. I can't pay my bills. And then it's like, what am I doing? But yeah, you just get through it.
Have you actually come up with a plan for after the holidays? I feel like with events and stuff like that, you're in a unique position where you can kind of offset some of this stuff. But
my goal for myself is to try and put money away during the season. Mm-hmm. And then that'll help me out personally. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the numbers, there is no comparison from this past January and the one before. So
yeah,
it is growing.
Yeah.
It's just that lull.
Fair to say that, whatever, maybe I guess October to December are the best months for any retail?
Honestly, for the store and the location that it's in, we start this month. So we start in April and it'll go through December. So it's only that first quarter that's a little rough.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, it's not horrible. It's above my goal I set for myself through E4All for the year. So I did monthly goals, but.
And now I say this a lot too. Mm-hmm. Small businesses that don't do gift cards, stuff like that. Is that, like, to me, I'm like, man, that's like obvious.
Yep.
But maybe I'm not in it. And I think it's like the easiest thing for some easiest air quotes. I think it's the easiest opportunity to make some cash, especially headed into the holidays. How does the gift card stuff work for you, success wise?
We have the actual plastic gift cards at the register, but you can also buy them through the website to get e-gift cards. They've been purchased a lot, but I think the turnover rate is only 50-50 right now.
Turnover rate meaning?
Like for people to actually come back and use them.
But you already have the cash and...
I already have the cash.
You already have the cash.
Saved, yeah.
So... it's a benefit to you, but then you're like, come on, 50% of these people use it because I want you to see this stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, 50%.
Yeah.
Is that like a industry average or?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know I still have gift cards from the holidays that I haven't used, so it might just be the norm.
I have two from Home Depot in my wallet right now, and I'm just like, you are right.
I have Target ones, and I go to Target all the time, and then I forget that I even have them.
Yeah.
So that's probably the case.
Man, there's like a... gift card waste report that somebody should do, and just like how many billions of dollars are out there unused.
Gift card.
God, that's amazing. And gift cards work how with other merchants in the store? If somebody comes and buys $50 from you,
they can be used on the whole store. They can, you can even use them online on like classes and things like that. Mm-hmm. They can be used for anything.
And that money gets split out to the merchant?
However it needs
to go. Because it'll be the transaction would sort of come out of your gift card pool if they were to buy a widget from another vendor. Cool. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic stuff. Any last words on new things coming to the store, sales, events, anything happening soonish? We're recording this on April Fool's Day.
We do have our 1 year anniversary in Westport party tomorrow. It's from 10 to 6. There's a lot of stuff going on. I got a prize wheel. We got surprise bag drops. I have about 4 raffles to give away. Thank you cards. We have discounted tarot and Reiki sessions, refreshments, so much.
Petting zoo. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. I wish, right? It's going to be a lot of things, but it's going to be fun. So it's 1 year since we've been in Westport. So
you're the first, I'm asking us a terrible podcast host of his own product. I think you're the first Westport business. I'm talking really slow so I can quickly look at my site. I think you're the first Westport business that I've had, which is interesting because I usually bring up a topic of sort of like the whole like Fall River versus New Bedford, like where you spend your time and how South Coast business owners can do better to sort of bridge this gap. I feel like it's getting better. You're smack dab in the middle, kinda, between both. You know, lots of events now happening. Patty Rigo sort of leading a lot of the charge on the Fall River side. Of course, SOAM is kind of in both camps, kind of. What are your thoughts on bridging that gap, or do you think it's moving in a healthy direction?
No, I think it's definitely moving in a healthy direction. I see it in the store myself. I do have a lot of people who live in Fall River and New Bedford that are in the store as businesses, but I do also have it as customers. And the people that I had at the mill in New Bedford are still traveling to us in Westport, so it's helping bridge that community.
Yeah, I love it. It's just like people are like, oh man, it's so far away. It's like you really get on 195, it's literally 8 minutes.
Yeah, right? We're like, right off the highway.
Right. So it's perfect. It's off the highway. you hop on 195 and it's very, very easy. I live in Fall River and I'm pretty excited for like a lot of the stuff that's happening like on the waterfront. Of course, you know, with the train finally coming in and all that stuff. It's pretty it's going to be a pretty attractive sort of waterfront area as they start to build it up. And that's exciting. But it's also, you know, I'm pretty envious as somebody who's worked down in New Bedford for like the last 10 years. It's, you know, always been attracted to like that close-knit business sort of community that New Bedford has. Fall River, we don't have it yet.
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
Patty's fighting for it.
Yeah. Now there's also a lot of, and I don't know how much time you spend in this space, but there's a lot of the artist community that's trying to build up, you know, over there. Mm-hmm. And of course it brings in like, hey, there's like the state funding stuff. And then it's like, okay, now it's city council and governments and appointees and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, I'm just like, what is happening?
Right.
Right. Like just let the folks do whatever they want to do in terms of art and just support them that way. Why does there have to be like the central thing for everything? I get it and I don't get it like all at the same time.
Same.
But it's looking positive to say the least.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome stuff. Oh boy, 3genlove.com, 3genlove.com. Go there, buy a gift card.
Yes.
Check
support
out
52 people.
Yeah, support 52 individual brands. Check them out. Address to the location one more time.
645 A State Road in Westport.
right behind
Cozy Nook.
Sign up for text message
marketing
and email.
Yeah.
An eventual podcast too. I mean, you'll do a podcast someday.
Right. We'll see.
Thanks so much for hanging out today, Amanda. Everyone else listening, it's southcoast.fm, southcoast.fm/subscribe to join the mailing list. We'll see you in the next episode.